Well, if you would, go ahead and pick up your Bible and turn to Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians chapter 4. As you're turning there, I have a question. Why are you here? Why are you here? Now, before you start freaking out, like, hey, this isn't going to be some kind of philosophical, deep question of like, why do you exist? Like, that kind of why are you here? I'm talking about simple. Why are you here today in this room right now with these other people? Why are you here? Why did you come? I just want you to think about it. Just think about it for a second. I was a youth pastor for several years, and I kind of noticed, and it didn't take me too long to notice, that there was these different kind of levels of people that were kind of coming for different reasons, and I could group them together. And I kind of called them like level one, level two, so forth. Level one was all of the students that came because they had to, not because they wanted to. Do you know who I'm talking about? Like, their mother or their father, you know, forced them to come, and that's why they came. They didn't want to be there, but they had to be there. Somebody was making them come. And even though we're adults now, I still think that some of us are on level one. Now, I don't know, maybe your mom made you come. I don't know. But you know what? For some people, and if it's not you, I think you know enough to know this is true. Some people come because their spouses make them come. Well, I better come. I don't want to be there, but my spouse expects me to go. Some people begin to go to church when they have children because they're going, well, I don't want to really be there, but I really probably should be there for the kids. Or maybe it is for a parent. Or maybe it's just because it's God that makes you feel guilty when you're not here. Maybe it's, well, I know I'm supposed to be there. I don't really want to be there. Maybe some of you right now today are going, you know what? I really don't want to be here today, but I know that's where I'm supposed to be, and, you know, so that's where I'm going to go. Some of us in this room, if we were being honest, is probably close, if not right on, level one. Then there's level two. Level two was when, and maybe somebody even started out on level one, I got to go, but then as they were there, they made some friends, they, you know, started having some fun, maybe the games or something like that in the youth group, and they wanted to come, but they wanted to come for reasons other than spiritual reasons. It wasn't bad reasons, it was just something other than spiritual reasons. Like, you know, social reason or an emotional reason, I feel good when I was there, whatever. My reason for coming for a lot of years in youth group were two words, Julie Epley. Man, I was there for that. And some of you, you're on level two. And you know you're on level two. You're coming because maybe there's a certain person you're going to see, or maybe a group of people you're going to see. It's a social reason. Maybe it is an emotional reason. I just feel good after I'm there. You know, I can't really explain it, but I just feel good after time there, you know. And maybe there's even an intellectual reason. It's not really spiritual, but it's intellectual. Well, you know, it makes me think about these certain things and concepts and whatever. But you're at level two. Then there's level three. Level three was what I hoped that a lot of youth would get to, or all the youth would get to, because it's coming for a spiritual reason. It's coming because I want to grow. I want to, you know, be around these other people, around teaching, whatever else. And you know what? Even if it's like, well, Julie's still there, it's not like I don't care about her. But all of a sudden, it starts going like, hold it, but I like this more. This is, even if Julie wasn't here, I think I would still come because there's something I'm getting out of this spiritually. I'm learning how to grow. I'm learning what this life is all about, and I'm learning what this Christianity is all about, and so that I can leave this place and live out the life that God has always purposed me to live so that I can be the person that God has always wanted to be. There it is. There's level three. And for some of us in this room, that's we got there. We got to this level three, and you're here primarily. You have maybe other reasons, but the primary reason why you're here is because you want to grow spiritually in your walk. You want to grow. And then I found out that's not the highest level. I mean, is that it? Come to grow. Even some of you out here are going, isn't that it? Like, that's why we come to church, right? I mean, to grow spiritually. Is it? Or is there some other level? Is there a level four? I think in Ephesians chapter 4, Paul talks about a level four. Paul talks about the reason why we should be coming together with other believers, whether it's here on this day or other places, a life group, Starbucks with a group of people, other believers, whatever it is, that we come together for a reason, but it might be different than what we think it is. Let's look at it. We're going to start out with verse 7, but before we do, if you remember last week, Shay was sharing with us, did a great job of just introducing us with chapter 4, and if you remember, this is when Paul really switched gears. First three chapters is all the blessings that God has given for us and done for us, what he's made us into, including putting us into one body of believers. And in chapter 4, basically, Paul says, so now that you know what God has done for you and what God has done to you and with you, why don't you just walk in that? Why don't you just accept that, live in it, devour that? He even says not to make unity, but just to recognize unity and live in unity, preserve the unity, because we don't create it. God already created that. God already made us unified. We just need to accept it and live in it. In fact, Paul even says in verses like 4, 5, 6, he talks about all the things that we have in common, which is why we should live in unity, because we have a lot of the same things in common, including the same Lord, the one and same Lord, the one and same God and Father, the one and same Spirit, the one and same body that we're in, the one and same baptism that places us into the body of Christ, the one and same ultimate hope of our calling. We have a lot of things in common with each other, so let's act like it. But as Shay pointed out last week, unity doesn't mean uniformity. Because we have all these things in common, does that make us all the same? Well, just look around and we know that we're not the same. And we're not even supposed to be the same. In fact, Paul, just so to make sure that his readers then also understood that unity doesn't mean uniformity, he says in verse 7, let's look at it. He says, but even though you have all these things in common, there are differences too. He says, but to each one of us, grace was given according to the measure of Christ's gift. You see, every single one of us is uniquely gifted by Jesus Christ. It says that we've been given his grace by the measure of Christ's gift, that you have a measure over here of Christ's gift. You have a different measuring of Christ's gift. You have a different measuring of Christ's gift. You have another different measuring of Christ's gift. I have a different measuring of Christ's gift. And we're all working together, even though we're so diversified, that we're working together as a unit. It really is like a regular body. Paul uses this example of how the church is. That we're like the body. Jesus Christ is the head, and we are all together the body of Christ. If you look up here on stage, you'll see how many bodies? One. There's one body up here. How many parts of a body do you see? Well, several. Are the parts of the body up here all the same? Well, no. My eye is totally different than my ear. My hand is totally different than my foot. We have all these different parts of this body, but all together you still have one body. And all these different parts even have different functions. But working together, it works as all these parts work as one body in unity to accomplish some same mission that we all have. Isn't that incredible? I love the picture of a body. That's what we are. We're all parts of this. Jesus Christ has gifted you, has seriously gifted you, given you all the resources necessary for you to live out the function that God has for you to live out. Every single one of us, including other things, but every single one of us, just for an example, if you are a follower of Jesus, you are uniquely gifted with a spiritual gift, at least one. I'm talking about a supernatural ability to do something. Did you know you had that? Every single one of us who's a follower of Jesus has a supernatural spiritual giftedness that Jesus, among other ways that he's wired us, has given us so that we would be able to function the way that God wants us to function in this body. It's unbelievable. And Paul here in verse 8 really tells his readers here, hey, this isn't something new. This is something that was even talked about in the Old Testament. Look at verse 8. He says this, therefore it says, and this is from Psalm 68, when he ascended on high, he led captive a host of captives, and he gave gifts to men. He quotes this verse from Psalm 68. Now, if you were a Jewish person, when you read that psalm during this time or for all the history, you would see that what Psalm 68 is about would be about God delivering his people Israel out of Egypt, out of the slavery. They were captives of Egypt, and God, as like a picture of this like conquering warrior king, came down, beat up Egypt, and rescued his people, brought them out through the Red Sea, destroyed Pharaoh's armies. And if you remember, they even plundered all of this stuff, all this treasure out of Egypt. They carried tons of treasure with them. Again, showing this picture that God himself was like this conquering king that conquered this empire, Egypt, rescued his people, took all the plunder, and then it says he gave gifts to men. It's like he gave a measurement of this plunder to you, and a measurement to you, and a measurement to you. So all of us got maybe different kinds of treasure, but we all got some treasure. That's what happened with the people of Israel. Paul is saying it's not just about God delivering the people of Israel out of Egypt. This is also about Jesus. Look what he says. He explains it in the next verses. He goes, now this expression, he ascended, and he's talking about Jesus ascended. What does it mean except that he also descended into the lower parts of the earth? He who descended is himself also he who ascended afar beyond or far above all the heavens so that he might fill all things. Jesus did something so that he could be involved in everything and in everyone's life, including yours. He did something to do that. Talks about descending and ascending. You know what it's talking about? Where Jesus himself emptied himself of being equal with the Father, came, and you know what? Became a slave to us slaves. And you're going, what do you mean, us slaves? We were captives? Yes, we weren't captives of Egypt. Every single one of us were captive of sin, Satan, and death. Every single one of us. Jesus came and became a servant to all of us captives, went to war on the cross, was buried, rose from the dead as a victorious warrior king who, like God did in the Old Testament with the children of Israel, rescued us and took the captives of sin and Satan and death, us, and took us when he ascended on high at the right hand of the Father and had the authority now to give us gifts. Not like the plunder that everybody got from getting out of Egypt, but like these resources, this wiring, these gifts, these spiritual gifts that he gave every single one of us in order for us to function in the body of Christ, in order for us to serve our new King and Master. That's what he did. Now, what does this look like then? What kind of things are we talking about? How is he making us function in this body? Look what it says in verse 11. He says, and he gave some, this is some of the things that Jesus gave to make the body of Christ work. He says he gave some as apostles and some as prophets and some as evangelists and some as pastors and teachers for the equipping of the saints for the work of service to the building up of the body of Christ. He gave some people, and he just talks about a few of these functions that he gave in the body of Christ. He says, you know, he made some people function as apostles, and he makes some people function as prophets, and he makes some people function as evangelists, and some people function as pastors and teachers to equip the saints. So he talks specifically about these certain people that have this function in the body of Christ to equip all the rest of us, because we're the saints. All of us who are followers of Jesus are holy ones. God has changed us into his holy ones. Wow. And we have these equippers that now equip us or prepare us so that we can function the way that God wants us to function. How does that work? Let's look at these people that are mentioned in verse 11. He gave some as apostles. Apostles were sent out ones. They were people that's what apostle means, to be sent out. And they were people that were sent out by Jesus Christ to begin the church, to lay the foundation of the church, to formulate doctrine, to tell us what the church is all about. They got messages directly from Jesus Christ in order to deliver to us, to tell us what this is all about. Now you got prophets, and prophets are similar in that they also had a direct line and a connection to God. Prophets, the word prophet means mouthpiece. They were mouthpieces of God. They would hear a message directly from God and deliver it to the people so that the people could know what God wanted or what God was wanted to teach them or wanted to let them know. So you look at apostles and prophets, how do they equip us? They equip us by giving us the message of the truth so that we would know the truth, that we would know God's truth, that we would know what the gospel is all about, what God's good news is all about, that we would know what life is all about. And some of us might look around and say, well, then who are those prophets and who are those apostles here? I don't know. Who are they? You know what? Even if we can't see somebody standing up here that's an apostle or prophet, all you got to do is pick up this. We still have the writings, all of the things that God revealed to and Jesus revealed to his apostles and prophets right here in this book, and they're still equipping us today with their writings. Old Testament, I just basically look at it this way, Old Testament prophets, New Testament apostles. And these people are equipping us. We read this, we read their writings that they got revealed from God so that we can know the truth, we can know how to live life, we can know what the gospel's all about. Then you have evangelists, right? That's the next thing, evangelists. Evangelist just means good news bearers. And it was a person, or it is a person that has this incredible ability, a supernatural ability to present the gospel, to present the good news to unbelievers so they can understand it, so that they have this heart for unbelievers that are like incredible. They eat, breathe, sleep, burp, the gospel. I mean, it's that person, maybe you know him or her. It's that person you're around, man, they always are thinking about unbelievers and how can we reach them and how can we share the gospel with them and how can we, you know, that person's gonna be lost and we need to share with them and tell them the truth about how to follow Jesus Christ. And it's that person that does that. Now, some of us in this room are going, wow, if I was told to go out and share the good news with other people, I would be starting to get a little shaky. That's not my comfort zone. You're probably not an evangelist. The evangelist, when I say the same thing, they're like, yeah, come on. And you're going, man, you're kind of freaky. But it says here an evangelist does what? Equips the saints. Isn't that kind of weird? Because an evangelist does what? They go out and talk to unbelievers. How does an evangelist equip saints? We already know the gospel. You know what they do? They come alongside us. And if you're an evangelist, I want to encourage you to do this. Come alongside the rest of us and show us how to share the truth. Because we all need to be able to do that. Evangelists are here to help us share the truth. Get this, apostles and prophets help us to know the truth. Evangelists help us to share the truth. And then you have pastors and teachers, shepherds, pastors and teachers. And in the Greek here, it looks like it's really one person. It's like a pastor, teacher, teacher, pastor. Somebody who teaches primarily by pastoring or somebody who pastors primarily by teaching. And these are the people that come alongside us that maybe you do see on stage each week that take what the apostles and prophets have written and make it like these cookie bite sizes for us to swallow and we can digest and we can understand how it applies to our personal lives. So get this, you have people, Jesus has given us some people, has gifted us with people that can tell us what God's truth is, show us how to share God's truth, and show us how to apply God's truth. Now you have those three things, don't you think you're gonna be equipped? You're gonna be prepared for something. But why are we being presented with knowing God's truth? Why are we being shown how to share God's truth? And why are we being shown how to apply God's truth to our lives? Well, I know, it's so that I can grow spiritually. It's so that I can become a better person. So I can become all that God wants me to be, right? Is that what the passage says? Verse 12, what does it say? To equip the saints for what? For the work of service to the building up of the body of Christ. We are meant, level 4, we are meant to come here in order to serve. We're meant to come here for others. We're meant to come here not to have our needs met, but in order to meet other people's needs. Whoa, that changes everything. You mean it's not about me? Nope. Well, what about my growth? Yeah, that's great, but don't put a period at the end of that. Yeah, I am here to grow so that I can serve. I can do the work of service. I'm here to be equipped to do the work of service, to build up the body of Christ. That's level 4. What does that look like to do the work of service? You know, does it look like we go to our webpage, you know, and you go, okay, what are all the ministries of the church? Let me pick one. get in there, and now I'm doing the work of service. Is that what it is? It includes that. Don't get me wrong, that's great. But you know what? It's way broader than that. It's way more organic than that. It is simply living a life of serving and caring for the other people in the body of Christ. That's what you're here for. So you can become equipped better to do that. Whatever that looks like. You are here for the person to the right of you, to the left of you, behind you, in front of you, and across the room from you. That's who you're here for. Whoa. You know, I think there's probably two big reasons why we are not, if for any of us who aren't, really doing the work of service. I think there's two reasons that I hear about. Number one, I'm not ready. An opportunity comes up. Hey, do you want to serve here? Do you want to get involved here? Well, I'm not ready for that. You know, if I got involved, I would wreck it. You don't understand, man. I am totally not equipped yet. In fact, PJ, I am way on board with this. I become equipped, and then I serve. Right? I mean, and I'm not equipped yet. Trust me. I'm way out there. And I need some help first. But as soon as I become equipped, I am there. I'm in. I'm your man. I'm right there with you once I become equipped. You know what? If this is a step-to-step thing, we become totally equipped, and then we begin to serve. Do you know how many of us we'd be serving? Zero. None of us are all there. None of us are ready. Guys, this is not, the way it's written here, you got it all wrong if you're saying, I need to become equipped. I need my needs to be met first, and then I can start serving. I need all of that stuff first, and then I can start serving. It is not that way. It is much like when we learn something physical. You got to get involved with it. You got to practice it in order to grow in it, in order to be equipped. It's all convoluted. It's all connected together. It's like somebody who says, I need to be equipped first and then serve. It's like somebody who says, I need to learn how to swim fully first and then I'll get in the pool. What? Well, I need to learn how to swim before I get in the pool and try to swim. You know what? We can have people up here showing us how to swim. Hey, it's like this. Come on. Everybody do it, you know, like that. And you know, we can have a guy come up here and get really deep with us and talk about the physics of swimming and how it all works scientifically and how it can work for you. And we're like, yes, I am learning how to swim. And then somebody, we can go outside, you know, we go to the pool and we can watch everybody else swimming. Oh, look at that. Oh, look at that. Boy, I'm learning how to swim. No, you're not. And we laugh, but you know what? Isn't that exactly what some of us are doing with this? Well, tell me deeper. Tell me how to deep. Give me a little bit deeper. Oh, I want to know even more. Oh, wow, this is great. Oh, there's somebody else doing it. Oh, that's fantastic. I'm learning. Let's show another video. Let's listen to another podcast on swimming. Look, you're not going to swim. You're not going to be able to learn how to swim until you do what? You get in the water. Are you still learning? Is there somebody there to equip you? Yeah, you got the teacher there, but they're teaching you by showing you how to do it and having you do it. That's how you're being equipped. In fact, with this idea, it is like I'm being equipped in order to serve, and then you know what happens when we serve? We grow. So I'm growing, and as I'm growing, I begin to serve. I'm right up right with each other. I'm growing, and I begin to serve, and as I continue to serve, I grow more. It's that connected. And yeah, just like with swimming, you know what? When you jump in the water and you don't know what you're doing at first, are you going to swallow a couple gallons of water? Yeah. It's okay. That's what happens. And when you begin to serve and you're going, well, I don't even know if I'm ready, so you're going to swallow a couple gallons of water? Yeah. It's okay. It's part of learning. Go for it. I don't think we can use that excuse. Because we'll never serve. The second one is this. I don't know where to serve. I mean, I'm willing to serve, but like you said, PJ, we're all part of this specific part of this body of Christ, a unique part of the body of Christ. I'm not sure what that is for me yet. I'm not sure exactly how I'm gifted. I'm not sure exactly how I function, and I wouldn't want to do something that I'm not really functioning in. Like, what if I'm a hand and I start acting like a foot? That would look silly. I'd look stupid. So once I know what my function truly is, then I am there. Do you notice that in this passage, after he gets done talking about the equipping people, he doesn't tell anybody else in the church what their function is? You notice that? Because they didn't need to know. Just like we don't need to know to function. He just wanted them to know that they all had an important part in the whole thing. And would they believe that? Will you just accept that you are an important part and you need to start serving? So go for it. And it'll be an adventure. But you'll never even find where you need to be unless you start going. You ever had that game where there's a marble in a box, kind of a box thing, it's in a maze, and how you get the marble through the maze is by tipping the box? You know, forward, backward, side to side, and you try to get the marble to go. I think that's much like us learning to serve. And where we need to serve. If the marble is in the box and it's able to move, look, the person can move it to wherever it needs to be. I think we're the marble, and I think God is the one holding the box, and the box is serving. Just get in the box, and if you start going this direction, and God says, whew, I appreciate the effort, but that's not where you belong, you know what he's going to do? Tip the box. And we'll know it. Ooh, that didn't work out. That's okay. You're not a failure because you try something and fail. The problem is if you don't even try. Go for it. He will move you where you need to go. You know what the frustrating thing is? Is I don't care how much you move the box. If there's no marble in it, it doesn't go anywhere. And some of us are marble and we refuse to get in the box. We don't want to get into service because we're not sure where we go yet. Well, you need to get in the box to find out where to go. So get in the box. Get in the game. And see where God moves you. You see an opportunity? Take it. I don't care how crazy it is. You might say, man, I don't even think I ever fit there. That might be exactly where God does want you. Because if you really aren't ready, then you can never take the credit. It always goes to God. God uses non-ready people all the time, unqualified people all the time. Because you might not be ready, but the Holy Spirit who lives within you is ready. And he just says, are you willing? Let's go. See what happens. When we all have that idea, I am going to serve. I'm not going to use any more excuses anymore. I am going to serve. I am going to care for. I am going to help the body of Christ in some way. I'm just going to take opportunities and availability when it comes up. I'm just going to go for it. See what happens. When we do that, the body of Christ grows. We grow healthy. We grow stronger. It builds up the body of Christ. And some of us might say, okay, I'm serving. How long do I serve? How long do I serve? And it says it in the next verse. Look at verse 13. Until we all, this is how long we do this. Until we all attain to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to a mature man, to the measure of the stature which belongs to the fullness of Christ. Did you catch what I caught when I first read this verse? It blew me away. Do you notice it doesn't say that me and you, we serve until we grow? Because I go, okay, I want to serve because serving causes growth, okay? And I want to mature and I want to make sure that my life matures. Do you notice it doesn't say, hey, serve until you understand your faith a little bit more, grow in your knowledge of Jesus more, and you become a mature follower of Jesus. Your life begins to reflect the life of Jesus. What does it say? Until you get there? Or until we all get there. We do this until we all get there. Whoa. Are you saying that my growth is dependent upon somebody else and vice versa? Yes. Yes. That's what this is saying. You ever maybe had a race or something and it's a group thing and you don't finish the race until who crosses the line? The first person the last person. What if we actually thought that that's how it works with us? What if it's not an individual race? What if it's not this individual thing that we're going and, hey, so as long as I get there? What if it really is a group thing and we don't finish until the last one in this room finishes? Now how are we looking at everybody else? Come on. Let's go. We got to get there. It changes everything. Look, can you think of one person, just one person, who's a little bit farther along in their faith than you are? Can you think, and or, can you think of somebody who honestly is a little bit further behind in their faith than you are? Then we haven't gotten there yet. And what are you going to do about it? Can you think of somebody who knows Jesus just a little bit more than you? Can you think of somebody who doesn't know Jesus quite as much as you? Then we haven't arrived. And what are you going to do about it? Can you think of somebody who's just a little bit more mature, whose life looks a little bit more like Jesus' life than yours does? Can you think of anybody whose life doesn't quite look like Jesus the way yours does? Then we haven't arrived. And what are you going to do about it? Because we all have to cross the line together. What if we thought that way? What if we actually did? What would happen if we actually went, this Christianity thing isn't about me. It's not a singular thing. It's not individual. It's not personal. It is plural. It is a group. It is this entire body. It is all of us. It really is that cliche, all for one and one for all. Every single one of us is for that one, and every single one of us is for everyone else. What if we really thought that way? What would happen, you guys? What would happen? It says it in the next verse. As a result, in verse 14, as a result, we are no longer to be children, tossed here and there by waves and carried about by every wind of doctrine, by the trickery of men, by craftiness and deceitful scheming. That word children is like a toddler, like a two-year-old. You ever talk to a two-year-old? You ever told a two-year-old something outlandish and they go, whoa, that's great. They're just so gullible. And fickle, and they're fun to talk to. I mean, there's two-year-olds that believe there really is gold at the end of the rainbow. I used to think that. Don't laugh, it wasn't recently that I thought that. But I used to think that when I was a two-year-old. And so did you. You thought all this stuff, and then you grew more aware. And you understood, you know, not to go back and forth by, people couldn't trick you as much because you grew up. It says here that we're going to grow up as we work together. We're going to grow up as we serve each other. Do you know what I thought would keep me from bad doctrine and the trickery and deceitfulness of things that are lies? You know what I thought would do it? More Bible studies. Reading more books. Listening to more podcasts. Now nobody will fool me and give me a bad doctrine. According to this, that's not how it works. According to this, how it works is that we all work together. And we're there for each other. Well, how does that work? How does us having a mentality that we are all for one, one for all, that we don't all cross the finish line until the last person does, how does that change things and keep us all from being children and growing up and knowing the truth better? Look what it says in verse 15. This is what happens. Instead of being children, but instead speaking the truth in love, we are to grow up in all aspects into him who is the head, even Christ. You know what we're going to end up doing? We're going to start talking to each other in love. And we're going to speak truth, even hard truth, in love. Do you know why? Because we don't finish until all of us finish. Because it's not about just me. When we're working together, when I drift to this side, do you know who's over here? One of you. To gently but firmly push me back. Oh. And if I start drifting this way, there's another one. Gently and firmly pushing me back. And if I start lagging behind, you know what happens? Both of them, gently and firmly, pulling me where I need to be. You know why? Because it's all about all of us. We all have to cross the finish line together. Every single one of us is important. Every single one of us is vital. That's what's going to happen. And that's what I'm going to do for you. You know, there's some people, you guys, maybe you're one of them. I don't know. You get to Christianity and you're like, yeah, I want to follow Jesus Christ, but I want to make it a real personal thing. And yeah, I'll hang around with you and stuff, but don't get involved with my life too deeply. And don't start calling me out on things. And don't start challenging me on certain things. You know what? You do your thing. I'll do my thing. I'll see you in heaven. That's how it'll work. It doesn't work that way. It doesn't work that way. And it changes even why I even think people are doing things to me in my life. You know, wow, these Christians, all the other Christians are just busybodies. They just want to get in my business and tell me what's wrong. They think they're better than me. You know, that's what it is. It's exactly the opposite. We don't think we're better than you. We think you're valuable. More valuable than you think you are to the body. You're needed. And just like if my hand was hurting and unhealthy, I'm not going to go, well, it's just my hand. I'm going to do something about it because it's an important part of the body. Because if I lose that hand, we lose an ability to do something that we can do with two hands. With you. You're needed. And if you're going, no, 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 what I'm involved with, you know what? You mind your own business. What I'm doing, yeah, it might even be wrong, but I'm not hurting anybody else. It's not affecting anybody else. So mind your business. It's not affecting you. So mind your business. You're wrong. That's a lie. It's a lie. What you do affects every single one of us. And for some of us, even right now, you're going, whoa. Well, then I, you know what? I wasn't sure what I was signing up for, so that's not what I want. Really? I don't think that's true. I might be going out on a limb, but I think that's exactly what you really want. Every single one of us, every single one of us wants to know that we are needed, valued, and an important part of something. Every one of us wants that. Admit it. And you know what else I think we want? I think we would get our juices flowing if we just knew we were part of something that was way bigger than any one of us. Something that was powerful. Something that was so big that only God could do it. Every single one of us want to be something, a part of that. That's the body of Christ working together. That's what we are. See, I think that some of us need to be reminded of what that last verse says in verse 16, where he wraps this up. He says, from whom the whole body, this is Jesus Christ being the head, he says, from whom the whole body, look at it, being fitted and held together by what every joint supplies, according to the proper working of each individual part, causes the growth of the body for the building up of itself in love. We're getting in your business because we see how important you are for the growth of the entire body. That's awesome. And you're getting in my business because of the same thing. And we're challenging each other, and we're caring for each other, and we're serving each other because we know it's about all of us. And we can't grow unless we're doing this together. But when we think that way, when we are all on level 4, an incredible thing happens. You see, when we all answer that question, why are you here? And we honestly can say, okay, I'm going to be here for other people because I want to serve and care for others. That's why I'm going to do this. If you join the rest of us who are there, it will change your life way more than you realize. It will make an impact on you that's unbelievable. Not only that, but even bigger than that, you're going to make an impact as you join the rest of us. You're going to make an impact on the body of Christ because only you can add what you can add. You are unique. You are needed. You are a unique, gifted part of the body of Christ, and we need you. Join us. And the body of Christ then will change. We will continue to grow. We will mature, and then, even bigger than that, we'll make an incredible impact on the world around us. As we work together, you guys, the world won't just see individuals being like Jesus. They're going to see a corporate body, a corporate group of believers being like Jesus. And the world will not be able to ignore that. Can't. And you guys will be functioning the way that God meant us to function. And when that happens, watch out. We will change the world. Following Jesus as our head, we will change the world. And that's why we're here, isn't it? Let me pray for us. Lord, thank you again for your word. And Lord, I pray for every single one of us that we would go to level 4. God, that we would take the writings of the apostles and prophets, let us know what God's truth is, that we would surround ourselves with evangelists to help show us how to share your truth with others, that we would take what pastors and teachers are giving to us and applying that to our lives, that we would become equipped, but we wouldn't put a period there, but we would say we're becoming equipped so that we can be more better to serve, to do the work of service in the body of Christ. Lord, that we would see that it's not individual, but it's about all of us. That we would take steps to just go ahead and serve. We wouldn't throw out excuses anymore, reasons, but we would jump in and see where you take us as we serve and as we do the function that you've given us everything to function for in the body. Lord, thank you for your plan. Thank you that your son Jesus Christ is the head of the body and we follow his lead in unity as we are also diverse. Thank you for your plan. And may we make an impact on the world around us as they see the body of Christ at work. In the name of your son, we pray. Amen.